Hey everyone, welcome to Bugging About Romance. I am Leah, and on this special episode, we are doing an author spotlight, and joining me is author Angela Casella. Hi, Angela, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so just a little bit about Angela. Angela Casella loves rom-coms, writing them, reading them, watching them. She's greedy and she does it all. In addition to her solo series, she's lucky enough to have collaborated with Denise Grover Swank on multiple series. She lives in Asheville, North Carolina. Her hobbies including herding her daughter towards less lethal activities, the aforementioned rom-com fixation, and dreaming of having someone else clean her house. I think everybody has that dream. I mean, the house cleaning itself is like, it's always a chore.
Yes.
Okay, so before we talk about The Love Bandits, which is your newest book that came out, let's get to know you a little bit. So what initially drew you to the romance genre as a writer?
So it's been kind of a strange journey, I guess. I started out working in editorial. I actually lived in New York and worked at Random House. Okay. And this was during a time of like a lot of shakeups in the industry. So I ended up like working for a romance editor, even though I had started working for someone who did not do romance. Okay. And it was kind of like the first real exposure I'd had to romance. I had read like, you know, some romance, of course, when I was a kid, but mm-hmm. this was like, you know, that was like all we worked on. And mm-hmm. I just kind of fell in love with it. And then I ended up going freelance, and several years into my freelance journey, I just formed a really close friendship with Denise, actually. And she decided that she wanted to write a rom-com series set in Asheville. And she was thinking about doing something with a brewery. So that's how our Asheville Brewing series got started. We decided to do it together. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of got hooked on writing, and you know, I can't stop.
So what draws you to the rom-com itself in your writing?
I love laughing. I come from like a big Italian-American family, and mm-hmm. we just always loved like laughing together and telling funny stories, watching funny movies. So I'm, you know, I love making people laugh whenever possible, and mm-hmm. you know, love stories also have just, you know, that's always been my favorite part of every book, whether it's a romance or not, is like mm-hmm. the love story. So aspect drew me in.
Do you have a favorite rom-com movie that you like always go back to?
I don't have like a favorite. I would say I love Bridget Jones. Bridget Jones's mm-hmm. Diary. Like, the books and the movies like have always just been like ones I could rewatch or reread or go back to.
Do you find it difficult in your writing process to balance your characters and like the plot in the stories that you're writing?
Sometimes I do like enjoy including a lot of plot. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I have to be like, okay, well, I think I need to like go back and add like a little bit more, you know, of the relationship, you know. And sometimes I have the opposite where it's like, I'm just enjoying writing these two so much together that I realize that nothing else has progressed. Uh-huh. I have to go back and be like, okay, well, I'm going to add a scene with, you know, their friend or whoever so that I can progress this side of things.
Mm-hmm. So you said your first book that you wrote was with Denise. Is mm-hmm. Are you still currently co-writing with her every once in a while, or?
So I think we're going to try to do it like every once in a while. There was a Christmas book that we were trying to release this year, and we're going to release it next year. Mm-hmm. It's just this idea we've had for a while. So I'm excited about that, but you know, she's been kind of focusing a little bit more on her mysteries lately.
Mm-hmm. So, your writing process, do you plan, do you plot, or do you pants?
I am definitely a pantser. Mm-hmm. I'll have an idea for how I want things to go. Like a very short outline. When I say short, I mean just like a couple pages. Like I want to know the major beats.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I just get like really inspired by the actual writing. Mm-hmm. I think part of it might be because I come from a background of like developmental editing.
Right.
For me, that's always been, I was like, can you see the top of my head?
I can't, you're fine.
So for me, that's always been like kind of fun to like come up with ideas as I go along and get inspired. So that's definitely part of the process I love.
So for when you do co-write, is your process different when it's the two of you? Because I mean, I know there's always that added element of an extra person. So yes, like essentially like bigger picture process is probably different, but like your process itself, is it different, or do you kind of blend like your two processes together when the two of you are writing?
I think part of the reason we get along so well is that we're a little bit similar. So we're both like definitely of the pantser mentality. And yeah, it's kind of similar in that sense. But of course, when you're working with somebody else, what we do is like when we do work together, we each have one of the POV characters. So of course, if somebody throws a curveball, then you have to catch it. And, you know, come up with something. So it can be really energetic in an awesome way, like because you have somebody else. You know, when you're sitting writing a book like all by yourself, it's like everything that happens you have to come up with.
Right.
So when you're writing with somebody else, it's kind of fun to be able to like, you know, share that process.
Are there any challenges that you personally have like in writing romance? Because I mean, there's always been that back, like, romance is taboo. Romance is, I mean, it's a billion-dollar industry, but it's still one of those things where people don't always like talking about the fact that they like romance. Do you find it difficult, like, as a romance author, or does that not affect you?
I don't think it really affects me too much. The only thing is, like, sometimes when I'm talking to like other parents at the school or something, or like my daughter's teachers, like I don't like, you know, maybe like I wouldn't be like, oh, they're like hot romances. I'm just like, oh, you know, I write romance. I'm not like, you know, I wouldn't hesitate to tell somebody. It is kind of like, of course, I have friends who are like, oh, romance. And it's like, well, you know, that's fine. You don't have to read them.
Yeah, I mean, I do edits as well, like with Becky and I, we have our company, but there are times where like people ask me what I do, and I'm like, so I edit books, and they're like, well, what kind of books? I'm like, well, romance books. And they're like, oh, I'm like, yeah. And I really enjoy it. And they're like, well, okay then. But it also like, you kind of can gauge, like when you're talking to people, whether or not it's just one of those things where you can like deep dive into like what you're doing. Cause I actually have a friend and she was telling me about a book she read. I was like, oh, I have some recommendations for you. And I was like, but wait, is consent important to you? She's like, sometimes. I'm like, oh, then I definitely have books for you. It's like just that like little like interaction of like tone. Like I knew she was pretty much open to anything and everything I was willing to give her.
Well, the funny thing, I guess, is that I don't really have that many close friends and family who do read romance.
Right.
So I just, you know, I think that they think it's cool that I'm an author and, you know, and some of them, even if it's not their genre, they'll still read my books. But, you know, it's not like I would ever, you know, I don't want people to read them if they're not going to enjoy them, you know,
Right.
Like it's too short.
Yeah, exactly. Life is too short to read a book you don't want to read. Readers like have very strong feels like with tropes and subgenres and things like that. Do you have a favorite trope to write or even to read?
So I love fake dating, fake relationship books. I just think that they're it like, especially for a rom-com, it like gives a lot of material naturally. So I really enjoy writing those. I've written any number. And I really like enemies to lovers too, because I think the banter, it gives just like such a great opportunity for banter, and banter is like one of my favorite things to write.
Okay, so let's talk about the love bandits a little bit. So this is your newest book. It came out July 18th, 2024. It's not super tropey, which I really enjoyed, because as I was reading it, like there is an enemies to lovers element in it a little bit, but it's not super heavy. And there's the found family like element with the friend group. But I was having a hard time finding more tropes, which I love that, because I feel like right now books are so tropey and over the top, and it's like they're trying to jam all these tropes into one like small thing, and it gets overwhelming and muddled.
Unfortunately, it makes it harder to market sometimes.
Yeah. I'm sure that is true.
But so for this series, I have been kind of like playing a little bit with slightly the morally gray. I realize now morally gray like has a different meaning since dark romance is like so popular.
Yeah.
But I think that it has a little place in rom-com too, where it's like people are not so concerned with walking like that
The
line.
straight and narrow, yeah.
So I mean, I've been playing with that a little bit in this series, and the hero like definitely has like kind of a shady past, but so yeah, I just kind of like have enjoyed playing with that line and kind of the humor in this one. I had a lot of fun writing, especially.
So like the book itself is, it is decidedly a rom-com, like, but there are some big feels and a lot of soul searching in this book with both characters, the hero and the heroine. But was it really hard to find that balance in this book from like the serious moments, the comedic, or did it flow fairly easily?
I'd say that's like pretty typical of like my books in general, like because I do feel that in life in general, like there's so much to laugh about, and there are also these like, you know, very serious moments and issues that we're dealing with, and like laughter and humor are ways of coping with them. So I guess I feel like just because it's a rom-com, it can still have like that emotional resonance, and like I
Right.
definitely always try to tap into that a little bit at least.
Yeah, and as I was reading, like I this was my first book by you. Like, you've been on my radar for a while, but it's one of those things where like I just have not been able to like delve into one of those. And I was deep in my dark era for a while, so rom-coms were just not hitting for me at all. But I really enjoy this. I love the character development. I like the growth of Jake's character from start to finish. Like, you didn't, going into it, you weren't expecting him to grow in the way that he did, but I was really pleasantly surprised by the way his character arc went.
Thank you. I love him. He's like one of my favorites.
Really?
I just he was really fun to write his POV chapters. I
Yeah.
really enjoyed it.
Well, and it was one of those things because I am a blurb reader. Becky is not a blurb reader. And based on the blurb, I really was anticipating this like opposites attract type book because of the way that like it started out. But like, you start out this book and Lainey's backstory is not what I was expecting. And so like, she is actually very in tune with Jake in his life, which you find that out like very early in the story. Like, I'm not spoiling anything with this little tidbit of information, but I was really surprised that like they were so similar but different at the same time.
I think yeah, like the blurb for this one I have struggled with. I rewrote it actually because I was like, it's just kind of hard when the plot is like, I think it's like easy to understand, but at the same time it's complicated.
Well, and the blurb really fits. It does fit, but it teases you in a way that you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting that.
Because I don't want to give away too much at the beginning, because I liked that. I liked kind of putting things together slowly at the beginning of this one, and kind of like the setup was like definitely one of the things I thought was really fun to write. I think for her, like what made it kind of the enemies to lovers vibe is that she grew up with these like kind of awful parents who were really scheming, and so that's like something she like thinks she just hates, doesn't want anything to do with about herself as much as anyone else.
Well, and
So,
she's tried really hard to overcome that too. But that was one of the things, like Lainey's character arc, there's a lot of self-doubt. There's a lot of questioning like who she is and where she really belongs. And it's like she has these two friends, so Claire and is it Natalie? I'm drawing a
Nicole.
Nicole, I knew it started with an N. But so they're sisters, and she like feels connected to them, but she also feels separate from them. But there's some really poignant moments with Nicole, because her and Claire have been best friends forever. But there's some really poignant moments with Nicole that really show like Nicole is just as much as just as important to her, and like she is just as important to Nicole, but she never really realized that, which I thought was really great, because like she's always felt like on the periphery of like their relationship, but she's not at the same time.
Well, I think that she and Nicole are more similar. She's like kind of like you know, someone that she's kind of taken under, Nicole has taken under her wing to try to like give her what she needs, because she recognizes that she has like a similar sort of need for some chaos, and rather than like the control that Claire needs.
But she's so subtle about it, which I think is like perfect.
Nicole is a character who's in a number of my books, actually. I love her.
Yeah, because I was reading, I also am one of those, I'm a weirdo, I like to read all of the back matter. And so like now her and Damien's book, does it cover multiple books, or is it just, they're just available in like the whole series?
So she has, the two of them have their own story, which is written as kind of a, it's like kind of a standalone prequel. It kind of serves as a standalone prequel to like My Fairy Godmother Agency series, but also to The Bad Luck Club, which I co-wrote with Denise. Just because they appear in all of those books, but they're in a central role in The Fairy Godmother Agency, and they're private investigators already in that series. So it's kind of like they're it gets confusing because it's all the same world. It, you know, they could all be read together, you know, read separately. But yeah, that's, that one is their, bringing Down the House is their story.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely, because they intrigued me, like the way their relationship is. And even Claire, like I'm going to have to go back and read her and Deacon's book as well, because I was like really interested. I'm very, very excited for Rosie's book, because she's the next book. But that, and but that's something too, like you create this world where I've never visited, but I was like, oh, I love being in, immersed like in their lives and the relationships, and I really want to learn more about them.
Well, that's great.
But so Lainey herself, she is the assistant to this slightly curmudgeon-y, which I mean, I want to be her when I grow up. older lady who is trying to save her son from a gold digger. I loved her. Mrs. How do you pronounce the name? Rosings?
Rosings, yeah. Okay.
I loved her so much, honestly. So here's a funny story. I told my a lady I work with in my office, I was like, when I grow up, I want to be a curmudgeon-y old person. And she's like, I hate to tell you, but you're kind of already like on your way. But this is who I want to be. Like, she is. At one point, like Lainey even says, like she's ballsy.
I love her as well. So her name is actually from, have you read Rebecca? Like that classic
Daphne Tall.
No, there's this classic like gothic novel, Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier.
No, and I have not.
There's like the manor is called Rosings.
Ah.
So I got her name from that, and she's just like, she started, she kind of like, so in the first book in this series, The Love Fixers, Claire is going on a plane to see the house that she has inherited, and she's between Declan and Mrs. Rosings. And at first I like didn't know she was going to be an important character. And like after I wrote like that scene where they're on this plane that's like very choppy and like, you know, they're worried it's going to crash. So after I was wrote the scene with her, I was just like, okay, no, she is a major character in this series, because I just loved her.
I love like an ornery old character who like has like a lot of love to give, but you don't realize it. And I just, I'm really drawn. Again, like I am a curmudgeon-y old lady apparently at my age, but I just am really drawn to those types of characters. And it's like, you know that she loves her kid, but she's not doing it in the best way. But having that like story and like creating this plot in which all these characters come together, I just thought it worked really well.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm having fun writing their book. Like, definitely his relationship with his mother is like, has been fun to write.
Now, is she based on somebody, or is she just like a culmination of like imagination?
She's not really, although like, I will say that I do have a lot of elderly characters in my rom-coms, and I was kind of considering it. I'm like, maybe part of the reason is that, you know, I do come from this large Italian American family, and my dad had like any number of aunts and uncles. Like both of my grandparents were from, like, you know, my grandmother especially, I think she was from a family of 12. So
Oh, yeah.
I'm
That's
used
a
to
lot.
like being around these like very strong-willed older ladies, and my own grandmother was really a powerhouse, and she was hilarious. Like she was always like cracking dirty jokes. Like just
So you've
had
taken
the
like little pieces of all these little old Italian
very
ladies.
like had like a hair trigger temper too, though. So yeah, like she has in some ways inspired like some of these characters, I would say, and just like my strong relationship with her.
I love that. I love that, like, you can have little tidbits of like people that you know and your different characters. And I think that's one of the things that authors, like, there's so much of an author's self in their books that it really lets you get to know them without getting to know them at the same time, which I think is great. Is there one thing that you want readers to take away from reading The Love Bandits?
Well, I just, like you said, it's kind of a story of like them kind of finding themselves and like how our relationships with other people can like motivate us to you know, be our best selves, and you know, that these friendships we have can become family. Like I do love that found family aspect. And yeah, like I also think it's just really fun.
Well, and in the story, we meet Jake, who is the hero, and we get some of his backstory, and then we get little snippets about his brother. We don't actually meet Ryan in the book, but as I said, I read the back matter. So Ryan is getting a book, because that was actually one of my questions at
Yeah.
like that I was going to ask, but then I was like, oh wait, he does get a book. So is
So
he
yeah.
going to come back to Asheville?
So I think that I do, you know, he will be like they will be reunited, but this is actually going to be a standalone book, and it's
Oh.
going to take place somewhere else.
Okay.
So it's just going to be like a standalone Christmas rom-com.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, with your like morally gray bad boy hero.
I bet he's going to have like conscious, like crisis of conscience, because like not to.
Yeah,
Because he has that a little bit, like, in because he leaves some information behind. And but I will say the twist with Rourke, who we hear about but we don't really meet until later, like, I was not anticipating that.
that's one of my pantsing moments. So I was not totally anticipating it either, although I went back in and like, you know, wrote some stuff to make sure that it fit. But yeah, sometimes, like I said, I think just from being a developmental editor, that some of my best ideas come to me like
On
while
the
I'm in the thick
fly.
of something, and then I have to go back and revise, which is a bummer, but it's kind of exciting to like have those ideas energize you, like while writing.
Do you feel very energized by your writing? Because I know there are some authors who like they struggle with books every once in a while. It's like, and by the end of the book, they're like, thank goodness it's over. Have you ever had those moments, or do you feel like pretty good about every book after you're done with it?
I usually feel pretty good about it. Sometimes if I've like read it too many times, it's like I get worried when I read it again afterwards. But usually I'm like, sometimes it'll take me a while too to be like to get into it. But usually I'm like, oh no, did I do something wrong? And then it's like I'll hit that point where I'm like,
It really
okay.
starts to flow.
I mean, it's hard to like, especially because I try to get, you know, like multiple books out a year. So it's hard to like have that time to really be able to step back. But usually like when you send it to your editor and then you get it back and you have to like make edits, like that's a time where it's like, okay, I've been away from it for a
So it's
few days.
like fresh in
Like,
your mind, like it's a
yeah.
fresh thing, like you're not like bogged down with everything that you've been like reading over and over and over again.
Exactly. Like, and I, you know, and I do have an editor's mind, which is helpful in revising, but it's much more helpful if there's been that space.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about what's next, but what is next? So is Rosie and Anthony's book next, or do you have something in between?
Rosie and Anthony are next in The Love Losers, which has sort of developed a little differently than I was expecting, but not like in a kind of fun way, where so they sort of like connect, and then she like sort of challenge, you know, she realizes like they've kind of been through some similar things, and she challenges him to do like a bucket list. So they decide to like kind of do these things together, and it's just sort of, it definitely is like a very opposites attract, because she's very much a wild child and he has kind of lived this life as someone who's very buttoned up and tried to do what has been expected of him. So their connection has been really fun, and as I've been writing, I'm like, it's kind of like if Mr. Darcy went for Lydia.
Oh, I like that. Oh, that's going to be fun. Well, thank you so much, Angela, for joining me on this author spotlight. You can find The Love Bandits. Is it wide, or is it in KU?
Is not KU.
Okay, so you can find The Love Bandits in KU. So you should definitely check this out, and then check everything else out, because you will love Lainey and Jake. Like, their story is excellent and wonderful, and I am thoroughly enjoyed every second of reading it. But thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.